Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Tell me about maybe a couple star students who are using your system, and where are they seeing some success? What's going on with them?
Oh, sure. I've got actually several of them, and several of them have already started on the speaker's circuit along with me just because of their results. Mm-hmm. We got a video testimonial in yesterday from Maria Gadelis, and she's one of my top students. She generated six figures in her first 5 weeks with me, and all of that was through those joint venture big workshops. She sent a video testimonial yesterday from France. And she just sent it, just to send it. And she said, hey, David, just want to touch base with you. I am now currently in the south of France, and this is my lifestyle now, and I owe 100% of this to you. And she said, you can use this anywhere that you want.
That's incredible. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Pack a Workshop, Turn 35% of Your Audience into Clients, and Make Thousands a Month for Your Consulting Practice. After the company David worked for went under and he lost his high-paying sales job, he knew he couldn't start at the bottom all over again with another company, working 70 hours a week for peanuts just to prove himself. So even though he had a family to support and a huge mortgage to pay, he decided to go the marketing consulting route. No one thought he would make it, but he did. In fact, at his peak, David was making $190,000 a month net. Now he teaches others how to do it too, and in this audio interview, you'll hear all about it. David says he finds most of his clients running educational workshops on internet marketing. And because he outsources most of the work, he can concentrate his time on landing clients and upselling them on services. So in this audio interview, you'll hear how he runs his workshop, how he always has a full house, and how he lands clients to make thousands of dollars a month. You'll also hear all about the untapped markets hungry for consulting services, how to market your workshops to them, and an approach for landing 35% of your audience. You'll learn exactly how David runs his seminars, from the quiz at the beginning to the closer at the end, and why he says you should never try to pitch anything during your workshops. You'll learn a word-for-word script on how David follows up with his prospects and turns them into clients. You'll learn the services you'll want to upsell your clients to, how to outsource the work, how much you can expect to pay from the outsourcing, and how to keep your clients oblivious to the process. You'll learn what you need to do to prepare for a successful seminar. You'll learn how to set up JV deals for your workshops and where to find the kind of endorsements that really work. If done right, running educational workshops on internet marketing can be a great way to make a lot of money for your consulting practice. And David has it down to a science. By using an approach that stresses education above sales pitches, he finds he's landing more eager, qualified clients. And because he can outsource much of the work, he makes a lot more money than he ever did at his old sales job. And in this audio, you'll hear how to do it too.
Hello, this is David.
Hey, David, Michael Senoff.
Hey, great. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything going?
Great. Somebody needs to be great. It might as well be us.
You know, I told you, I've been marketing a how to be a marketing consultant course. I'm not the expert, but there's a guy named Richard. He has been putting people through trainings, and he had a lot of intellectual property put together, and he wasn't real internet savvy, and I made an agreement with him, and we've been selling these HMA marketing consulting training systems all over the world. There is a component to it, which is a group workshop component, which is how Richard's operated his consulting practice. real successfully. He's hooked up with some of these METs, these manufacturing extension partnerships, you know, that are sponsored by the state. And it's just like you say, in your book and stuff, when you're positioned, especially with a state or government entity referring clients to you, it just makes all the difference in the world. And then what you've done with the internet, because there's so many people clueless about the internet, it's almost like picking low-hanging fruit from the tree, because no one's doing the internet stuff right, and they're clueless. I'm thinking it's a wonderful way for my consultants to get in the door, to build up a little bit of a relationship, and make some money at the same time. I wanted to do an interview for my existing HMA consultants, so I want to give them a lot of value and give them confidence that, yeah, this can be done.
Sure. And then there's also something that I just put together. I haven't really shared with anybody yet, and this is just phenomenal. I cut a deal with the largest accounting firm in New York City, and all I did was basically contact them and say, hey, you've got a major unused asset that can make you hundreds of thousands of dollars. If I put it in place for you and do all the work, would you give me part of it? So out of 12 offices, they're tapping thousands in their database of business owners. Some of them have been with them 18, 19 years. And they're going to pack them into a workshop, 100 at a time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the end of May.
In New York?
Uh-huh. $497 a head. And I'm going to split that with them 50-50 after expenses up front, and then the back end's mine.
See, that's beautiful, and that's what you were doing with the SBA.
Just on a much larger scale.
Right. Well, you've got that confidence to do larger groups now, which is great. It takes time. For a new guy coming in, it's going to be pretty fearful for him. But there are people who love doing it and can do it. But that's great. You use joint venture. You use the endorsement of a number one accounting firm. Did you write the promotion that went out to their list, or have they sent out the invitation?
We've started that. Registrations are already flying in. They're registering through my website at $497 a pop through PayPal. I wrote the direct mail copy and the email.
Did they email it out to their list, or like direct mail?
They direct mailed it for the most part. Said that's the way they normally communicate with them, so that was the best.
Was it the internet marketing angle?
How to harness the true power of the internet for your business.
So you've been doing this a long time. So tell me, or my consultants, what has it meant for your life to go the internet route, showing businesses how to harness the internet, compared to going to businesses showing them how to grow their brick-and-mortar business where you're not talking about the internet? Does it make it easier?
It does make it much easier. They can communicate on that level because, I mean, they're entrepreneurs just like we are. So we're kind of a kindred spirit in a way. Both of us are business owners, but speaking to them about the internet is almost like a foreign animal. They're very misled about a lot of things to do with the internet, SEO in particular. SEO is terrible for most business owners. They don't understand it at all. And I tell them that it's purposely kept that way. It's kind of kept that way so, of course, everybody can wring a lot more money out of you that's really needlessly spent. It makes it much easier to talk to them about the internet and to let them know what can be done as far as starting to build a list or, you know, a lead capture mechanism or that type thing. And they can relate to that, especially when you can look at them and say, look, if I can cut your advertising budget by as much as 70% and increase your profit simultaneously, would you want to know how to do that?
Do you think they're more open to that internet because when you show them how to grow their business, and we're not talking internet, they've been in that business 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years, and they've tried everything, and they know it all. Do you think that know-it-all gets in the way from a consultant getting them as a client?
It does to a degree, and I tell them that right up front. You know, obviously, you have much more experience at running this particular business than I do, because I just stepped in the door, you know, so I'm not going to butt heads with you on that issue. You're a clear winner there. However, if I could show you some things in marketing that you could change and implement very easily that would make a major difference in your profit and loss, we might have some common ground there, true?
Let's talk about your story. Can we start from the beginning? How did you get into all this? I know you had some financial struggles and you kind of, I guess, reluctantly fell into consulting. So the consultants can relate to your story. Take me back to the beginning. How did this all start?
I actually worked for a billion-dollar retailer for years and years and worked my way up in the company, got all the way up to regional vice president, was doing really well.
Can you say who it is?
Yeah, it was Heilig Myers. It was a furniture retailer and actually did real well with them, worked my way up, and in the space of 3 months, they closed 832 stores and just went completely belly up. So I went from, I guess, hero to zero very quickly.
Were you in sales?
I was actually in charge of credit for several states over a certain amount. So I was on salary, but about $40,000 of that per year was bonuses. My places had to make their targets in order for me to get the bonus, which, of course, was a good-sized part of my income as well, and had done really well with that. and they just went completely out of business, too much bad debt, and it finally caught up with them. So I sent out tons and tons of resumes everywhere, and I got a lot of offers, but they were all companies that were willing to give me about half of what I was making with about the same responsibility.
Did you have a family at that time?
Yes, I did. I had a family, had a heavy mortgage, and of course the car payments and kids coming into driver's licenses. A lot of pressure. And then our 401 was tied up in, you know, the legal system, and it was just a real mess. I had some investments put back, but it was stuff that you couldn't get to immediately. And it was really kind of sad because we were in a big, nice house with nice things and nice cars, and we were literally starving to death, wondering how we were going to get food from the grocery store the next day.
Yeah, where were you? What state?
We were in Charleston, South Carolina.
Are you from there?
Originally, I'm from Ohio. And then they had actually transferred me there, and then 3 months later went out of business.
So where did the consulting idea come from?
That actually came to me. I kept thinking over and over, and I was looking at the answers to the resumes, and I said, you know, I'm not working 70 hours again, you know, and pretty much starting over with another company for 50, 60, 70 grand a year. That's crazy. And I understand business, and I know how business works. So I think I'm just going to start my own consulting firm and see how that goes. And everybody in my entire family was completely against that idea, except for my wife. She had enough belief, fortunately, in me to know that she trusted me. She said, I know we're really hand-to-mouth right now. We're having a really tough time, but I know that you know what you're doing. So I actually went into the Small Business Administration and offered to teach a free workshop. So they could put it out there and bring business owners in. And the first one I did was not about the Internet. It was about 11 or 12 years ago. And the first one I did was immediate things they could change that would impact their profit and loss statement.
What gave you an idea to go to the SBA? Did you find any other consultants to model? Had you studied anyone else? How did you even know to go to the SBA?
What I actually did was I went to the SBA for some help to begin with, and they had a resource center that I heard about that had a lot of resources in there for business owners and business people wanting to start their own business. So I went to the resource center, and there's a huge library there about that. And I went through some of the things, and then it hit me actually while I was in there. And I said, I can teach a consulting course or some type of a course and then monetize the back end of it. And it actually did hit me while I was in there. So I went and talked to the manager there and said, I'd be willing to teach a free course on the impact to your profit and loss statements.
Stop right there. Now, let's say a consultant's listening to it. They want to go down to their local SBA and they want to approach a manager. Knowing what you know now, and especially trying to make things go smoother, where if you could negotiate something with the manager where you could provide a charitable donation to the SBA, tell my consultants how they should do this and what you wish you knew when you first started that you know now.
Yeah, in the beginning, that was actually a tough sell in the beginning, and I never, ever mentioned anything about a donation to them at all up front. It did come to me later, and it was kind of a quiet deal that worked out really well. But I actually just went in there and offered to teach a free workshop, and you can do this. A lot of times the SBA are scheduled now to where it takes them sometimes 6 to 8 weeks in order for them to schedule you because they're so booked up.
All across the country that you've seen?
Just about everywhere. I've got students that do that, and they'll start out and talk with them. But the key factor for me was being able to teach a free workshop so that the government basically brands you as the expert locally.
Right. So you want to get in and do a free workshop with them because you want that implied endorsement.
Correct.
That's what a consultant's really after, right?
Absolutely. It's worth millions.
Why is that worth millions?
I can talk to a business owner anywhere, even if we're just out, even referrals, because the referrals have not been to one of my workshops. They don't know me, but I can give them a business card, and right on the very top of my card, in big letters, it says, ask me about free workshops hosted by the SBA. That's huge.
That instantly positions you as an expert.
It just instantly kills any competitor that comes through the door. Nobody else can say that.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. But when you were doing that, you were actually hosting those workshops?
Yes.
Okay. So what about a consultant who maybe it's going to take 6 to 8 months to get in with the SBA? What other kind of workshop can they do that will give them that type of credibility? Or maybe something close to it if it's not a government?
The easiest ones to set up, even with coaching students and high-dollar students and folks that pay me, the easiest way to get in and start a steady stream of literally clients that will just chase you down to pay you is with nonprofit organizations.
Give me an example of you or a student who did this.
I've actually got several students that, believe it or not, have gone to small private schools like parochial schools or small Catholic schools. And what they do is they set up a deal with the principal. And this is the entire pitch. It's very simple. Is you introduce yourself as a new fundraising vehicle. And here's what we can do. I will teach a one-day workshop to small business owners on how to harness the true power of the internet for their business. You can sell that to your customer base here. Your children can also do it instead of the candles or candy or whatever.
How much does it sell for?
We lowered the price for the schools. It's only $97 a head. So a lot of business owners will sign up for that immediately because, of course, they know it benefits the school, and you can use their auditorium, so there's absolutely no out-of-pocket to anybody.
How long does this seminar last?
6 to 7 hours, depending on the Q&A.
Wow, okay. So you approach the principal, they're receptive to this stuff?
The first one I ever approached actually gave me the name and number for 6 other schools that needed that kind of help.
They needed fundraising help.
Absolutely.
And you showed them how this could bring in more money than their candy drives?
Yeah, because normally they're really getting hurt. They're getting about 20 to 25% of the gross sales of every other type of fundraiser. The representative and the company make all the money.
That's true.
With this system, I could sit down with them and print out, even from PayPal, a CSV file that shows them the exact amount of transactions I had to pay and the exact amount of net money. And then I can write them a check at the end of that for 50% of the net amount. And I make it out to them as a charitable contribution, so I can write it 100% off my taxes. They can keep their nonprofit status. And the first one that I ever did was $5,300 up front. So they sold 53 seats.
How did they sell the seats? What was the method of them getting the word out?
Well, the neat thing about the private schools and the higher end private schools is most of the people that put their children in there own businesses, or they couldn't afford that. So a lot of the parents signed up. A lot of them as couples signed up. And then the principal actually took a van load of kids out to Main Street, and they just bombed the town. And a lot of the people signed up right from there.
So was it a flyer that was distributed? What was the marketing method, the vehicle that got the word out?
Yeah, it was basically just a flyer, a one-page flyer, that the children would go in and talk to them and say, we're doing a major fundraiser for our school and wanted to know if your business would like to help us. And that was the entire pitch.
It was for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the call to action on the flyer?
The call to action on the flyer was actually, now you can learn how to drive more traffic through your front door using the power of the internet, and you can help the school at the same time.
Okay, and then they go to your website that you control?
Mm-hmm.
And then it has the letter and everything?
It has the letter and everything. It has a picture and an endorsement from the principal.
Okay, that's good. And then you handle all the payments, and then the workshop's scheduled, and you go in and you do it.
That's it. And there's no cost because it's in their auditorium. Of course, they have their own audio systems and everything.
What do you need as a consultant to put on the workshop? What do you need to prepare for? Let's say everyone's right there. What do you got to prepare for to do and to pass out to make it successful?
The only thing I ever give them during a workshop is a pen and a pad because I don't want to give them any information that's step-by-step, believe it or not, you know, so they can take back and implement. I want them to write down what they feel is important.
Tell me why you do that. Could that be a mistake for a consultant to hand them a step-by-step thing that they're teaching at a seminar or that they're going to be maybe taking them through opportunity analysis like we trained them to do?
To me, I think that's a mistake, and the reason is because they can give that to somebody else, like their programmer or whoever built their original techie site, but it's not a direct response site, so it's really not doing them any good. But they can give that information to them, and they know enough to be able to implement that. But if they're taking notes and they try to call that person and explain to them what they learned in there, it just completely gets lost in the translation.
That's great advice. You want them to call you, obviously.
Absolutely.
That's great advice. Pen and a pad of paper, and are you presenting with a computer, a screen, or what?
Yes, I do present with a laptop and a screen. I hook it up to a projector. And a lot of times we'll go through some of the websites of the business owners themselves, and that works really well. I can put their site on there, and I'll say, let's talk for a minute about keywords. And, of course, you can right-click on it and view the source, and there's their keywords. And to give you an example, there was one on there called Bay City Grill, and he wondered why he wasn't getting any traffic from that. And we looked at it, and it was because the only keywords he had in there were Bay City Grill, but it was Bay, City, Grill, And I said, well, there's your problem.
Okay, so the consultants are going to be teaching a little bit about the Internet and about SEO, and some of the consultants listening to this really don't have that much knowledge about it. With your training and your course on how to do that, is it going to be easy for them to get up to par to feel confident enough to give a presentation like this on SEO and on the Internet?
That's a good question, and it's actually very simple to do. And I don't get real in-depth to it, and I just kind of cover the surface of it and let them know basic things. I don't ever get really in-depth in it because that can be an entire workshop in and of itself. So I just cover the basics of it, and the one thing they have to remember is somebody said something to me at a seminar, and I forget who it was, but he said to every third grader, a fourth grader is God.
What does that mean?
That if you're one step ahead of everybody in that audience, you're the king. And these people are very, very intelligent. Small business owners are very intelligent people. But they're just, for the most part, totally ignorant about the Internet and or marketing.
That workshop is 6 or 7 hours. What are some of the things you're going through? And I mean, what are we talking about for 6 or 7 hours?
The first thing that I try to get through to them right off the bat is the importance of list building.
Do you use that quiz that I read about?
Mm-hmm.
You got to tell these consultants about that quiz because that thing's beautiful and the way you set that up.
I actually set it up right off the bat. That paper is on their desk when they come in or their seat. And then I say, hey, I bet you didn't know you were going to have a pop quiz today. And everybody's like, oh. And I said, believe me, this will help me help you.
What's the purpose of that quiz in your mind for you to position you?
That actually lets them know how much they do not know.
How many questions is it?
It's only about 10 questions, sometimes 12 at the most.
Now, give us a couple examples because it is beautiful the way it was set up. I really liked it.
One of them is, do you have a static website or a direct response website? And most people look at you like a deer in the headlights. They're like, what? What current advertising methods are you using? How are you tracking your advertising dollar?
Yeah, it's like multiple choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the answers is none of the above.
And just about all of them are none of the above.
After they take that quiz, do you have them pass them all to the front?
I actually have them pass them back and forth, and I said, we'll grade these. And then we go through a little scenario where I go through the quiz with them, and I don't get in-depth with anything, but I just tell them, if you're not tracking your advertising, like, for example, if you hit none of the above, how do you know what's working? And if you don't know what's working, how do you know what's not working? And we're going to cover that today. And that's why this is important, because this tells me what you know about marketing your particular business.
Okay. Do you have this whole seminar laid out? I know you've got a couple packages that we'll talk about later, but do you have this thing laid out where if my consultant orders this and they want to know what you know through your package, you've got this thing step by step laid out, every step on how to put this thing on without them having to know anything more?
Absolutely. It has the marketing materials. It has, you know, like a nonprofit org pack is what they call it, the NPO pack, working with those folks, B2B joint ventures in there, how to pack a room with no marketing. And then the neat thing that everybody likes about it that I've gotten the most feedback on is the actual slide presentation that I personally use.
When do you break out that slide presentation? At what point in the workshop?
Immediately after the quiz.
Okay, so you've got a PowerPoint slide presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's unique about that and how is my consultants going to benefit from that?
It actually makes it very simple because it doesn't need to be all flashy and, you know, showy and everything else. It just needs to get the point across. And that slide presentation does extremely good job of that. They can look at the screen if they get lost or if they can't find their notes, and it's very simple to follow. And it's very basic stuff. I don't get into a really drill down deep type workshop with these folks because they're not ready for that.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, and the reason that this slide presentation is set up this way, well, really the entire system, is because you have to make them know that, hey, I understand that now, and I can do that. That's not hard. You want them to understand that that can be done, and they can do it themselves. So you want them to really honestly understand how they can make changes and do it themselves. The difference is about a third of the way through the workshop, they start laying the pens down, and they just absolutely don't have time. So they know that they can do it, and now they know how it works, so they know it's real, that their only deal is their time frame. I don't have time to learn all of this stuff, and I'm not going to. So I wonder how much Michael would charge me.
So that's what we're trying to set up, is them to approach you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've gone through the workshop. Tell me the setup when you come to the end where you want them, you know, flooding to you. How do you organize that? And tell me what happens at the end of the seminar, and how do you handle all these people who want your help? What's the system?
Wow. What I do is, and I always tell students this all the time, and future consultants, is during a workshop, if you do it correctly, you're there honestly to teach them. That is the key. There's no pitching allowed, ever. So you teach them the whole time you're in there very basic stuff that they could do themselves. And at the end of it, I tell them, look, if you're waiting for the other shoe to drop and get a $10,000 or $20,000 slap in the face with a product, you can relax. That's not going to happen. You know, you're here to learn. I'm here to teach. Let's get to it.
Do you say that at the beginning?
I say that at the very beginning. And then at the very end, this is the same thing that I tell them every single time, and it works flawlessly. I tell them, look, that's pretty much it. That's the entire workshop. I hope you got something from this today, okay? And I usually get a lot of applause and a lot of people, yes, you know, yes, this was great. And then I'll say, okay, here's the deal. And I said, when you leave here today, don't sit on this information. You already know in your own mind and your heart that if you go back and implement what you learned here today, this is going to make an immediate impact on your profit and loss, right? And everybody goes, yep. And I said, don't sit on this. Every day that you wait to start implementing this is going to cost your business thousands. So get back to your business, get with who you need to, start implementing these very simple steps, turn your business around, and I wish you all the luck in the world. I said, but now, if you get stuck, I've got a box of business cards back there on the back table. Take one of those on your way out, and if you get stuck and you need some help, give me a call, and I'll try to fit you in. I'll try to help you as much as I can. Okay? Have a great day.
All right. Everyone grabs for the business cards.
And within the next day or two, I've got a toll-free 800 number on there that I call a trap system. And it's basically, I can put any voicemail message on there that I want, and it automatically traps all of their information, whether they've got caller ID or not. It doesn't matter. So whenever they call in, it just basically tells them I'm out in the field with another client if they could leave their message. If they need to speak to me immediately, and this is an emergency, and they're a current client, press 1. And that's all, of course, psychological.
Of course. Okay, press 1. They're not current clients, so they're not going to press 1.
Right. But they automatically know that, hey, if they were a current client, they could get me very quickly. And I tell them it's a follow-me number, so if they leave a message, no matter where I'm at, it will track me down. And I said, if you're a current client, of course you know that. You can press 1 if this is an emergency, and I will be on the phone with you in seconds. So that works really well.
Your 800 system's pulling addresses through caller ID?
Mm-hmm.
So the calls are coming in. You're not really talking to anyone. You're capturing data. What's the next step to get them as a client?
Really, to be honest with you, I thought that I would have to follow up with them and start hammering them with different things and even send them a direct mail piece. I had thought about doing that, but what had happened from the very beginning with this system is straight across the board, students of mine that are doing this and me, it's between 30 and 35% of everybody in that room becomes a client within a week to 10 days.
You ignore them and they call you back?
They always call back. They say, hey, you know, I was in the workshop and I'm stuck. And you said to call you. And I said, okay. So I'll listen to the ones that are on there, and I'll call them back, and I'll say, you know, hey, Terry, what are you stuck on? And I'll be over in that area on Wednesday afternoon. Would it be okay if I just stopped in, and I'll see if I can help you? And the difference between this and any other type of client acquisition method is just enormous. You come in their front door Wednesday afternoon, and they're ecstatic to see you.
Because you're coming to help them out.
Absolutely.
They don't know you're going to charge them anything or whatever.
And I do this the same exact way. And I think this is really important to me. It's been a major, major factor in my success is I come across in their place of business the same way that I do in the workshop. As an example, they would say, you know, I've got a website. And I said, yeah, I see that. And it's pretty and flashy. And I said, but it's static, right? And he goes, yeah, it's not a direct response site. You made that clear. I said, so what are you trying to do? And he said, I'm trying to get a lead capture thing on there that you were talking about. And I said, oh, without rearranging the entire page. And he goes, right. And I said, man, you can put a light box on there. You can put a slider in it, or it's not a big deal. And he goes, yeah, but how do you do that? And I said, if you've got a couple of hours, I can sit down with you and show you how to build your own custom autoresponder, how to set up your list, and how to open a database and set up the database and set up your emailing. And you never get that far. They instantly stop you and go, yeah, you can do that, though. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And they go, well, how much?
Oh, so you're saying if you got a couple hours, we'll sit down and I'll show you how to do all that. And then they go, no, I don't want to know how to do that. Can you do that?
Right.
You say, say, yeah, I can do that. And then they say, how much? And then what do you do?
I said, well, there are actually a couple of different options you've got. I said, if you've got somebody that can write the emails for you, then you don't have to pay a copywriter to do that. I wouldn't recommend that unless they're good. And I said, because that's your money. But I can set the autoresponder up on your page. And if you want me to manage the database and the list, it's $150 a month subscription. And then it's totally hands-free for you. And they're like, that's it? And I said, yeah, well, how much to set up the autoresponder thing? And I said, it's normally $500. If you want me to do it for you, I'll do it for about $250. So if you want to just pay me $400 a day, I can just do it all for you. And then you'll have to find somebody to write your emails, or I can outsource that for you. I've got guys that do that. Well, how much are they? And I said, well, they sell those in quarterly packages, and here's why. Because they're not going to do them singly or one at a time or a week at a time, because you advertise with a quarterly budget, right? And they go, well, yeah. And I said, fit it into your budget. That's the best way. Because what will happen is you'll forget it if you just order one or two emails from them, and you're going to do it again next week, and I already know how busy you are. And then you burned your entire list you built because you forgot about it for 2 months. Yeah, you're right, you're right. So how much? So you literally have to get them to the point to where they're asking you to pay you.
Now, are you going to take the money there and work with them right there? In these services, do you have any of this stuff broken down on paper that you could leave with them or show them? You know what I'm saying? All right, so you've got it all memorized. You know what your packages are. You know how much you charge, and that's all in your head.
And then the consultants or the students that I teach, of course, they get a price list of what I call suggested retail. But then I just tell them basically that's what I charge. If you want to charge something different, that is totally up to you, because it's your business.
Yeah, okay. All right, so with an example like that, they want to buy, and they say, okay, let's do it. What do you do from there?
From there, I'll just write down on a little pad and say, this is what you're wanting to do right now, correctly, and they go, right. So I said, okay, if you want to do that, it's going to be this much. And they said, yep, and who do I make that out to? So I tell them, you know, just make it out to the company, and they put that on there, and I'll say, it'll take a couple of days, but I'll get it back to you within, you know, 48 to 72 hours, and we'll be rolling. And they don't realize that it takes 10 minutes to set up an autoresponder for them.
The autoresponder is going to be under your name. You're going to control their leads?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Tell me why that's important for the consultants if they're going to set up an autoresponder for a client to control and own the autoresponder account and to control those leads. Why is that important for a consultant to do that rather than set it up in their name?
Because the business owner realizes that it was actually their choice. You know, I offered to let them set up their own autoresponder service and show them how to do it. And list management, database management, I offered that to them, and they don't want to fool with that. They were like, I don't want to fool with that. You do it.
They're paying $150 a month for that.
Correct. And, of course, the work that I put into that every month is zero.
Well, yeah, because you're farming it out. But even if you did it yourself, it's nothing.
All of that's taken care of by the autoresponder system itself. I'll charge them $100 for every email broadcast that they want to do if they've got an upcoming sale. And once they get a decent list of 1,000 customers, buying customers, then I'll just tell them point blank, if you're going to advertise in a $3,000 full-page newspaper ad, don't do it. I said, you just got to trust me on this. If you let me send out an autoresponder broadcast to your current buyers about this sale, the ROI on this is 100 times more than spending $3,000 in the newspaper. And I'll prove it to you.
What are you trying to sell them?
All I do is, you know, I can write the email copy and attach a coupon to it and send it to their list and then tell them to print this coupon out and bring it in to redeem it. And then I explain it to the people that if you're doing media broadcasting advertising, number one, you're not tracking it. So you don't know if it's working or not. And it's a shotgun approach. I said, there's people out there that are not anywhere near your demographic that could care less, you know, that you're having a sale. And I said, but this is a list of people that have already bought from you before. So if you don't spend the $3,000 on the newspaper ad and you only pay $100 to do a broadcast email, the return on investment, there's no comparison.
You're selling them, let me do a broadcast email for you for $100.
Mm-hmm.
What about the actual copy for the email? They
That's
pay for
exactly
that?
Exactly what they're paying for.
Okay. So you close them. They say, who do I write the check out to? They make it out to you, and then you don't have to be at their place. You don't need to talk to their webmaster to get into their cPanel or into their – oh, well, you do need to get into their website to put the form up. Can that be sometimes challenging? How do you handle that? You go home. You've got them as a client. You've got their money. Now, how do you take it from there to execute the form up on their site?
A lot of times I'll tell them, you know, I need to get access to your website, or in many instances, the name for their website is not very SEO friendly, and it's usually stupid. And I'll look at it. Some of them have bright ideas that are not so bright. So a lot of times I'll tell them point blank, you need a long-tailed domain keyword for your domain. You know, you need something that the search engines can find easily.
So you're going to sell them a URL?
I'll sell them a new URL, and I just take their current information and swap it over to that. A lot of times I tell them if they're going to talk to their programmer and allow me access to that, programmers get really defensive over that sometimes. You know, that they're bringing this guy in and, you know, I thought this guy was my client and that type thing. But I said, you just need to tell them and explain to them point blank that you're the boss, that's your domain. And I said, but other than that, you have to tell them that this guy is not a programmer. So he's not a competitor. He's a marketer. So he could care less what you're doing. He's just going to help me market this business better. That usually works.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. So you're upselling more. You've got more things to sell that client.
Absolutely.
Is there a mother of all offer, a high-end package where they get all of this for one nice price?
Yeah, there's actually several different packages, and most of them do pick the top offer, which is $5,000. And that's a totally custom website from a marketer's point of view about their business. So it's totally custom graphics, total custom ad copy. Everything is for them, and it includes the lead capture mechanisms. It includes 1 year of 26 biweekly newsletters. It includes SEO, long-tail keyword research, and we've also got our own software that we write articles, press releases, we do audio podcasts and videos for that business and submit it to this dashboard, and it goes out to thousands and thousands of sites.
Okay, so you have this package all designed like in a sales letter to present to them before they drop their $5,000?
Mm-hmm.
And the people who order your package can use that?
Sure. It's very simple to do. And that was why I had to figure out the outsourcing, was because I knew that if I did all of that work myself, that at best, if I was working 8 to 10 hours a day, that I could do 2, maybe 3 clients a week.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. The consultants probably don't know how to do all this, and they don't want to get bogged down. So the integral part of your system is the outsourcing, the execution. And you're saying there are a lot of people who could execute this stuff without a hitch and easily?
Yeah, because you really don't have to know how to do any of it. In the package, there's actually my Rolodex of outsourcing partners I use. You can set your own up. There's also step-by-step instructions on how to start setting up your own outsourcing network, or you can outsource it through the same people that I use in there, and basically it costs $1,750 for you to outsource a $5,000 package, and you're keeping a little over $3,000 in your pocket, and you're not doing any of the work.
And so do you turn over your outsourcing team to the client, and they take them from there?
The outsourcing team never, ever talks to the client. They are completely behind the scenes. And the reason for that is the client knows me, not them. It's the same way for the consultants that order the packages or the outsourcing. They will work with that consultant, but they will never, ever directly contact the client.
Does the client believe you're actually doing all this stuff physically? And does it ever come up, or is that ever a concern?
That's the assumption.
So you can keep everything organized when a client says, hey, you know, they got a question about something. You're able to keep everything organized and make it look as if you're doing everything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is fantastic. You're sharing some very valuable step-by-step things that my HMA consultant should be drooling over by now. But let's go back to your story. You were in that SBA office. You set up and offered a free workshop. You did the workshop. 9 years ago, this workshop, this is basically what you're still teaching today?
Yeah, today is more or less the Internet, you know, the how to harness the power of the Internet for your business. And they really, really need that help. That's the key, is pretty soon, if you get it done right and the government agency picks up on it, fortunately for me, they really loved the presentation, and they got a lot of feedback from the people that attended it, and they said, yeah, it was really great. It really helped me. They never picked up on the fact that I was picking up clients left and right off the back of it until later on, and of course it was too late by then because the demand for me to teach those workshops in different areas was huge. So they actually put it into their budget, and I got to see my smiling face on public service announcements and on the radio, and it just blew me away. they were out there, hey, David Presta will be teaching a small business workshop. This is free to all small business owners in the Charleston area and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wow, that's me.
Yeah, you're a superstar instantly. So today it may be a little more difficult. I mean, I know the SBA here in San Diego, they're offering all kinds of workshops. They probably already have joint ventures with the people putting on these workshops, from attorneys to probably marketing to everything you can think of. And you did give me another avenue to put on a workshop that gives you a lot of credibility, and that's through private schools. If the SBAs are kind of filled up and it's going to be hard for the consultants to get stuff set up with them, what are some other avenues that my consultants can put on these workshops?
Nonprofit organizations, hands down, are the fastest movers on this kind of a deal, on the kind of JV. And the reason is they all need the funds. And as a fundraiser and a new vehicle like that, it's just a phenomenal workshop for them. You can use Rotary Clubs. I've taught the Knights of Columbus, the Rotary Clubs, the Lions Club, even St. Jude's Hospital. So any charitable organization or nonprofit organization is a great target.
And it works the same way. You're going to split the workshop. They're going to promote it to their membership list, and you're going to put it on most likely in their area, and you're just going to follow the system.
Mm-hmm. And then they get half of the upfront money collected, and I download that into a CSV, so there's absolutely no question. They can see it all in black and white right there. They get a copy of that, and then I cut them a check for 50% right immediately after the workshop.
So after your SBA one, you were busy for years and years just with the SBA. Tell me what happened at the peak of your consulting and workshop career.
With doing that and teaching smaller number of workshops, like a dozen folks or 15, 20 folks at the most, they kept me just absolutely pumping for a long time. And what happened was the small business development centers started contacting each other and saying, man, you've got to get this guy to come and do this. This is awesome. And at one point, I actually taught 23 workshops in 1 month just for them. I was just dragging my tracks out by the time it was over.
Did you have some support to run that many people? Did your wife help you or anything?
Absolutely. She took care of all the admin for me and the scheduling and the booking and that type thing.
You got to tell me, what kind of money were you making? I mean, I've interviewed some pretty big-time consultants making millions of dollars a year, but a lot of my consultants maybe just don't have the belief that there's that much money in this business. Can you give us an idea? You don't have to tell me specifically, but when you were really rocking and rolling, what kind of money were you bringing in?
On the smaller scale, and to me that's the smaller scale now, to me, it was a huge scale back then. But the smaller workshops like that at that point was six figures a month easily, and probably between 160, 190 a month.
160, 190,000 a month?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Was that gross or after you paid off the fulfillment?
That was afterwards.
That was net, right?
That was net.
Wow. That's incredible.
And then I've taken that to the next level where I've got huge JV partners that we do NDA agreements with, and then joint venture agreements between us. And like the accounting firm, being the number crunchers they are, they were all excited that they sent it back to me. 50% of the room on that is $35,000 a day for me. So that's $105,000 for a three-day weekend on the front end. And that doesn't even scratch the back end.
So here's an initial concern, okay? I promote you to my consultants. They love it. They're able to fill the room. They don't have the knowledge of how to execute it, and they farm out to you. How can I be sure my consultants or anyone who comes to you be sure who's doing the execution of this? And is that something that my consultants have to set up on their own, or do you offer all that?
They can set it up on their own, and there's very clear instructions on how they can do that, using several different systems that we've used. But we also have now, we have two full-time coordinators that do nothing but coordinate all of the outsourcing. And we outsource a lot through the Philippines, believe it or not. And they do extremely good work, and they're very inexpensive. And that job is really important to those folks.
Realistically, when you're designing on a website, there's got to be between the client and the designer, there's always back and forth, but this here, you know, the phone number's got to go here. And if they believe that you're doing all the work, how do you handle all those details of a newly designed website with all these different clients? They believe you're actually doing it all.
Yeah, the fun part about that is all of that's coordinated through the main office, the two folks that take care of all of that for me, and they've got enough experience over the years with me to where they can look at a site and they'll say, that's not exactly what I was looking for. And it never, ever makes it to me. I wind up getting the finished product, and it's always either very close to what I had in mind or it's right on target.
Okay, and then you deliver that to the client.
Mm-hmm. It's already installed and everything, and then I always make sure that I go in there, and they're always happy to see me. I pull up their new site, and I go, there you go.
So the joint venture you set up with this large accounting firm, would you tell my consultants this is the way to go? Joint ventures, workshops, split the money with the host of the workshop, and then if you choose, you don't even have to set up back-end services and outsource. That's the model, right?
Absolutely. The workshops are really, really important because there was a huge internet market. Actually, Willie Crawford used it for the first time and was so excited he called me on the phone, and he never, ever does that.
I heard the interview you did with him, so tell me that story. What did he do?
Yeah, he actually called me on the phone, and he said, the way this is set up, he said, the workshops are just a brilliant idea. And he said, packing them in, you know, and having them do the marketing for you, you're not really doing anything except showing up and branding yourself for the entire day. And then after that's over, your phone just rings off the hook, because they already know they can trust you because you didn't try to sell them anything. You were really trying to show them what to do. So they already know they can trust you. They know you're not going to pitch them as soon as they call you on the phone. And you actually position yourself as the go-to person when it comes to marketing. So you actually have an opportunity for those guys to call you about any marketing question, which, of course, is another service you can always offer them. I've had somebody call me before and say, hey, I got a postcard in the mail about SEO services, and do you think this is a good deal? And I said, well, fax it to me. And I looked at it, called him back, and I said, Carl, don't do this, man. This is a blatant ripoff. They're not even saying what they're going to do for you.
All right, so the way to fill your seats with lightning speed is through the endorsement of the host of the workshop, them endorsing you.
Absolutely. And you can start with anybody that you can think of as a consultant, and this is probably the key factor for client acquisition quickly, is think of anybody in your local town, in your city, that has access to a database of business customers.
All right, I know you've heard this over and over again. I hear it all the time. The consultants are worried that they don't have the credibility. What do you tell them when they say, well, I'm scared because how do I go to these people when I don't have that much credibility, and what's going to make them let me put on a workshop?
That's a good question, and there's a lot of ways around that, but I always tell the new consultants that are just starting that to try to start with somebody that they already do business with personally. An independent insurance agent or somebody like that has a large database of business people. You know, go talk to them. Talk to your financial planner. Talk to, believe it or not, the pastor at your church.
Can you do workshops for churches too?
Absolutely. They're a nonprofit organization.
Tell me about maybe a couple star students who are using your system, and where are they seeing some success? What's going on with them? I'm sure everyone's got one star student.
Oh, sure. I've got actually several of them, and several of them have already started on the speaker's circuit along with me just because of their results. Mm-hmm. We got a video testimonial in yesterday. He's one of my top students. She generated six figures in her first 5 weeks with me, and all of that was through those joint venture big workshops. She sent a video testimonial yesterday from France, and she just sent it just to send it. And she said, hey, David, just want to touch base with you. I am now currently in the south of France, and this is my lifestyle now, and I owe 100% of this to you. And she said, you can use this anywhere that you want.
So this all sounds beautiful. I mean, it really does. I'm just thinking, and my consultants are probably thinking, hey, okay, this system is a way to really book seats and get people in their seats and present and sell internet marketing services. My consultants are selling steps to a system that are basically all intellectual property, so the margins are huge. Your stuff here, you do teach how to outsource that, and the margins can be pretty good. But to make it really easy and realistically, maybe a lot of my consultants don't have the skills to do this. So why should my consultants outsource this, and then what kind of margins can be made if we're using your outsource context to do all this?
The easiest way, I guess for me, is you can have students that, as an example, they teach a room of 30 people. Out of that room of 30 people, they're going to average about 10 to 12 client retentions just from that one workshop. That's about average. About one out of three are going to wind up as a client. And if they pick the top-level package, which most do because it's the only package in there that's totally hands-free. The other packages are, hey, if you've got somebody that can write emails for you, that's your best package. You can save some money.
Do they get to finance these packages, or it's all one-time shot?
It's all a one-time shot. And it's basically up to the individual consultant. We have several consultants that will get half down, $2,500 down, then they outsource it all for $17.50. They keep the difference, and then when it's finished, 3 to 5 business days later, they go back, collect the other $2,500, and that's all theirs.
Okay, so your team's handling all that. Any challenges you guys are having? I mean, you're out there doing a lot of speaking. Are your resources getting bogged down? Because the worst thing I can have is have poor execution, and if someone's complaining that the work isn't getting done, that's going to make me or my consultants look bad. That's a legitimate concern. You can understand.
Oh, it absolutely is. And we've actually got a meeting this weekend, somebody that's flying in to meet with me personally that does nothing but outsource to the Philippines. And he's done that extremely successfully for years. And because we know that as these other joint ventures get together, the end of May is one of the biggest ones. And that'll be 300 probably clients coming on board just from that. So I've got to have other steps putting in motion and constantly expanding and getting bigger and bigger and bigger just so I don't get bogged down and that we can deliver in 7 days or less. That's the key.
Okay, but now, originally, when we first started the call, I thought how great internet would be as a foothold in the door to build some credibility and show some ways that they can grow their business. But my consultants are mainly offering package work offline. They could still use your system for filling seats in maybe something small internet-wise, like a web form or an autoresponder, and then upsell them on their other consulting projects, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that was my first thought whenever you explained to me exactly what your consultants are doing. I said that would be a great fit to use what I guess a lot of the other marketers out here are calling client acquisition on steroids and pack the seats and sell them your product, you know, or sell them your packages that they're already really familiar with.
You've got these different modules that you teach in your course. There's 7 of them. I'm going to read the module, and then you just give me just a brief, you know, 1 or 2 sentence thing about what it's about, just so the consultants listening can understand how this thing really is systematized. So you got module 1, selecting a location to pack the house. What's real important about a location? We talked about the ones when they sponsor you, you can usually use theirs.
The location's really important because you have to work out something. If you're doing it in a hotel, and it's not a nonprofit organization, it's a paid workshop up front, then you can actually choose a couple of different hotels, use them against each other, and get the best deal.
Okay. How to fill your seats with lightning speed.
That one is using the nonprofit organizations and or joint ventures with brick-and-mortar business owners to tap their client base.
Okay. Step-by-step workshop contents that will send you hordes of clients.
That one is the entire contents that are laid out in a very easy fashion so that they can understand that, hey, I understand how to do this, I just don't want to do it.
The hidden closing technique that works every time.
And that one is really simple. It's teach, don't sell. Show, don't sell.
I've heard that opposite. I've heard don't teach and sell, but we talked about it in this interview. You can teach them, but you don't give them any way to take home what you taught with them.
Correct.
That's smart. That's very powerful. The initial meeting with the business owner.
That's a very important part of the formula is you have to carry that show, don't sell attitude directly into the close. I can show you how to do this if you've got a couple of hours. You know, and of course, they don't have a couple of hours.
Okay. Setting up your own outsourcing network.
That one shows them step by step exactly how I set mine up in the beginning. So it is stuff that I'm currently using and continue to expand with it over and over and over. It's just nonstop. It just continues to grow. The more I need people, the more come on board.
Okay. Increasing your volume through demand.
That one is setting up a network so that your JV partners actually start referring people to you, and it just grows and grows. It takes on a life of its own.
So with this system here, what is a consultant going to get? Is it printed material? Is there audio, video? What's contained in the package?
There's actually the printed material, the 7 different training modules that are in there step by step, and they're all designed so that you have to complete the first one before you can go to the second one, and it runs in sequence. They also get about 12 and a half hours of audios that are me explaining step by step how they need to implement that and get it rolling. Plus, they get the slide presentation that I currently use, and they also get the transcripts and a slide audio, step by step audio of me actually teaching a workshop slide by slide.
Okay, the slide presentation, it's a generic presentation. It's not branded with your name?
No, it's not.
Is that all digital or is that shipped?
It's all digital.
Okay, and is there any reoccurring fees or is it just a one-time thing?
Just a one-time fee.
Okay, beautiful. Hey, David. I mean, this has been awesome because you're really hitting on what consultants really want. They want clients, and they want clients coming to them and running to them like a table rush. And I think this system certainly looks like the best leveraged way of doing that, better than hitting the phones, that's for sure.
I found out early on that cold calling or pounding the phone or that type of thing, you're going to be successful if you continue to do it as you should, but that gets very old very quick.
What about the consultant maybe who's shy and is afraid to get up in front of people and do these workshops? How could they benefit from your system if they're just not that type of person, but they maybe like doing consulting, maybe over the phone or hiding behind their computer? How can they use your system if they're not that get up in front of the people workshop type person?
I have had a student that hired somebody to do it for them. And, of course, there's the non-compete agreements and the NDA agreements and everything that have to be signed up front. And it has to be a very special person because the system, honestly, is so simple that anybody could really take it and run with it.
So really, for someone who's afraid to get up in front of a room and to read a slide-by-slide presentation, that's probably not for them.
Correct.
Okay, I appreciate that.
That would be my strongest recommendation is if you can't get up and read the presentation, I would not get it. And it's something that a lot of folks that after they actually got off the porch and went out there and did it, and your guys would be great at that because they're already off the porch. That's the only thing that holds everybody back.
But remember, you had a couple letters, one that could be sent out to businesses and one that could be sent to SBA or it could be modified to send to nonprofit organizations. Tell me your experience with those letters. I mean, do they really produce results? Can you get enough response with them? How have you used them? Any feedback on those direct mail letters?
It's really all over the board, and that's the best honest way to put it. I've had some folks that have sent out a couple of hundred of them and got very little response, and then I've had another guy that sent out 60 of them and got 9 clients.
Yeah, who was he sending them out to?
Small business owners.
And he got 9 clients from that letter?
Yeah, and I was like, wow.
Tell the consultant what that letter to the businesses does.
Yeah, it basically just tells them that, you know, I'm a professional business consultant, and you have an unused asset that I can plainly see, and it could be making you thousands of dollars a month, and it's very low cost to implement this system. And if you want to give me a call, I can set up a free 15-minute consultation with you, and I can tell you how it works and show you how it's going to benefit your business.
All right, so the letter goes out, the guy calls, I got your letter, you set the appointment, so you do a consultation in person or by phone?
I can do either one, but I would prefer to do it in person.
And it's not going to be your 4 or 5 hour workshop. What are you going to do in 15 minutes to close them?
Yeah, normally it stretches out to, you know how that goes. You're in there for the 15 minutes, which they know better than that too. But I sit down with them, and I basically just get them talking about themselves. That's the key. I try not to interrupt them too much. I just guide them along the way. I'll ask them, well, you know, look, Michael, why shoes? Did you inherit the business? Did you start it from scratch? Tell me how you started this. And then I always bring up the 2 key points. So number one is how are you staying in touch with your current customer base?
And they're not usually.
No. And the second fact is what advertising methods are you currently using and how are you tracking that?
Let me ask you this. This is a biggie, and I'm sure you experience this. Qualifying. Okay, that letter goes out. You want to set up a 15-minute appointment, but let's say you're sending out a lot of these letters and a lot of people want to meet with you, but you've got a lot of people who want to milk you for free information. How do you qualify before you're going to go spend an hour out with that client? What do you do to qualify before you get in the car and go out to his place of business so you're not wasting your time?
And that's a really good question, and sometimes that's a tough call because a lot of the times, they'll call you and they're very, very defensive when they're on the phone because they know you're going to sell them something. And it's not the true picture of the person, you know, if you actually get to sit down with them. But a lot of the qualifying things that I'll ask them is, if I need to, I'll just ask them that question on the phone. This is not about advertising, but let me ask you something. What current advertising methods are you using right now? And then I'll name them. And they're basically using the same 4 over and over. It never changes. They're not very inventive.
What are they using?
Yellow pages, which are totally outdated now. Print media, you know, vowel pack, coupon packs, which are pretty useless. And then also print media, as far as newspapers go, TV, cable, radio advertising, and billboards. And that's pretty much about it.
You've talked to so many businesses, and recently, what do you tell a guy who's using yellow pages now, and how has the Internet changed that game?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I actually get more flack from business owners about dropping that one service. They're very loyal to that, and that can be a tough road. But I tell them point blank, I said, look, let me ask you something. how much are you spending on Yellow Pages every month? And sometimes it's a grand a month. And I said, totally useless. You're throwing your money out the window, guaranteed. And they go, how can you say that? I've done that for 10 years. And I said, I understand that. 10 years ago, it was effective. And I said, but let me ask you something. Do you play golf? And most business owners will say, I'll try to. Anything that you can think of that's a hobby of theirs. Well, what do you do for a hobby? Well, yeah, I play golf. And I said, well, let me ask you something. If you were out to look for the latest, greatest driver that would help your game, would you pull out the phone book or do you jump on Google? And they get it instantly. And I said, well, what do you think your customers are doing? And they realize that, but just nobody has brought that to them that way before.
What do you tell the guy who's spending money on Valpak?
How are you tracking that?
What do they say?
I'm not. And most of them will even laugh and say, wow, I guess I should be, huh? And I said, absolutely you should be. How do you know what's working and what's not working? I guarantee you that if we start tracking the advertising you're currently using, you're wasting at least half your budget. At least half.
How about cable?
Yep, TV, cable, and radio.
And they're spending big money on that.
Yes, they are. The last one that I worked with actually last week was a new client that was spending $5,800 a month on TV cable ads and had absolutely no clue if it was even working at all. So I told him he needed to change that since he already had a contract with them for two remaining months. I said, you need to have them insert some sort of a special in there or something that you can track that tells you if that's actually working. Get your cost per spot and divide it by the amount that it's selling for you, and you can figure out your return on investment.
See, you're still out there consulting with clients, and you don't have to because you've got this big machine going, especially with your back-end stuff. Why even bother? Why are you still working with clients one-on-one?
That's a passion of mine. It really is. I love speaking with small business owners. I love being able to help them. That's the key. And even my wife would tell you that it still gets to me if I drive down Main Street and I see an out-of-business sign, you know, or for sale, gone out of business. That really bothers me. It really bothers me because I think if I could have gotten to them before, I may have been able to do something to turn that business around. I guess the biggest key, though, is showing them that by not tracking their advertising, they're wasting tons and tons of money that they could keep in their business for stuff that is working.
Well, David, this has been great, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I appreciate you. Anything I can do with you in the future, let me know. I'll help you as much as I possibly can.
Thank you very much. I think my consultants are going to love this. All right, bud. Have a great rest of the week.
Okay, you too, Michael. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, bud.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's the end of this interview with David. If you'd like more information and you'd like his system, I have arranged a special offer for my listeners for you to get his system at 50% off. All you need to do is go to www.hmaworkshops.com. That's www.hmaworkshops.com. Take a look at the sales letter there. Do not order from that page or you will pay the full price. Contact me by phone if you're interested in a system at 50% off. All you need to do is call me at area code 858-274-7851 or email me directly at michael@michaelsenoff.com. That's michael@michaelsenoff.com. Thanks for listening.